That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the main floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
I'm Steve Rosenbloom. I screwed it up again. This is the earliest we've ever sucked on Saturday Suckage. Robbie Triano, the producer, had it right. I just went along with it. Hi, welcome in. It's Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenbloom, Philly Jane. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Oh, boy. Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
That's perfect coming from a former White Sox pitcher. Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not going to make anyway. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, welcome to the suck team.
Toby.
Oh, my God, this sucks.
Random Bears fan.
Terry Burns.
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks.
I wouldn't say seeking perfection. It's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I sucked.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have it happen game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Justin Fields coach Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Pete Fairbanks.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
He's so good. AJ Pierzynski.
They should have just come out and said, hey, we're going to suck this year. And everyone would have been like, okay.
Pedro Raffol.
We're 20 games in. Our record sucks.
You're 48 games in and your record sucks, Pedro. Do the math. Michael Kopech.
It sucks, man. There's no easy way to put it.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Robbie Triano.
Hello, Chicago. I suck, Steve.
Yes.
It's
no,
great to see you.
I did.
No,
I
suck.
I
put the blame on me. I'm the producer.
Head of that. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That will get you to our listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to our text lines. I didn't even have to tell people that. And already we had 618 before the show started. Stevie Sunshine, what to do when you're on vacation, it's raining, start by listening to Saturday Suckage, have pizza for lunch, then take a gummy and go watch the re-release of Lord of the Rings. You shall not suck. Sounds like you got a plan there. All right, my guest today, Mark Potash of the Sun-Times, 11:25. We will be talking Bears. Andy Martinez of Marquee. Going to talk Cubs at noon. Hub Arkish at 1, Scores senior NFL analyst. Talk Bears and an 18-game season. That's where we're headed. Cultural zeitgeist. How would you like to own one of the arcs from Raiders of the Lost Ark? You want to own one of the arcs of the Covenant? Tell you how. The best thing I saw this week involves the best sports mustache. The best sports mustache. Cubs are 6.5 games behind first place Milwaukee in a division they should be winning. They are a half game out of last place. That's your Cubs. A half game out of last place in a division they should be beginning. They should be winning. Maybe it wasn't the manager. Do you think? Sox ended their historic 14-game losing streak, beating the Red Sox 7-2. Isn't that a relief when you think about it? The Red Sox got their June win out of the way early. Congratulations. If I'm interim Bears coach Matt Eberflus, I don't want to be in conversations that include former Illini joke Tim Beckman. But that's where we are. We'll play that audio game for you later. Kevin Warren thinks he knows how to make Chicago a world-class city. Here comes a world-class pantsing, Kevin. Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight, and it always comes back to the flying chonklas, as it should. Seattle and Saturday Suckage is taking some ownership of the flying chonklas. I got an update on a Bears future Hall of Famer. I'll get to all that later. But first, Caleb Williams. It always starts with Caleb Williams, doesn't it? He sounds like every Bears fan. More, you know, is hoping and praying. More of that than backed up by evidence. There was a quote this week. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Right now, we're working with our head down and we're building. Just having that moment with myself, I do it every day, to sit there and say, quote, we're going to be pretty damn good. So I've just got to keep going, keep working, and we're all excited. It's really important to have that mindset, but also have the mindset of let's keep going, let's keep working, let's get after it. Sounds like every Bears fan. And good. And Bears fans would like, if he's going to be your hero, if he's going to deliver you, if he's going to be Moses, then you want him to sound a little like you, right? Just have the ability that you don't and the ability to win Super Bowls. This was said during Bears having their final, well, at least final mandatory practice for veterans. They had a final mandatory mini camp at Hallis Hall. That was Thursday. They'll have one more session next week. That'll be OTAs for rookies, organized team activities. Matt Eberflus, the interim coach, can do the only thing he can do is prepare the rookies for what they need for training camp. Here's what Caleb Williams has to do. Here's what I want him to do. Here's what I was happy to read about, happy to see. All the mistakes. I want him to make mistakes. Make all the mistakes you can. Make every rookie mistake. Make them now. Do it fast. Learn from them fast. Fix them fast. That was kind of a thing with Joel Quenneville when he came in here with the Blackhawks, who were just trying to figure out where we are, how are we going to win. He replaces Dennis Savard, who was, by the way, did everything fast. Savvy was a speedster, but Joel Quenneville said, fast, 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 fast. You make a mistake, hustle back fast. Get back on defense fast. Turn the puck up fast. I want Caleb Williams to make every mistake. Do it fast. Do it now. We're talking about everything from learning the playbook, make your mistakes now, calling plays in the huddle. They're worried about, they happened with Trubisky, it happened with Justin Fields. What they call the operation of the huddle. Seriously? The operation of the huddle. Well, let's all scrub up and glove up and make sure the huddle's sterilized, and then we'll get the operation of the huddle. Calling NASA. I just, he's got to call plays in the huddle. It doesn't often happen. You look to the sidelines, you go, oh, I'm just going to throw to the guy that's open. Yeah, okay. And I'm going to do it fast. The cadence. They're a whole new team, whole new quarterback in a whole new situation. They got to get used to him. What does it sound like? What does this guy's voice sound like? What is his cadence? That issue marked practices for the Bears. A lot of false starts. Good. All in favor of it. I mean, I don't know that you should have to learn to talk when you're in the NFL, but apparently you do. I mean, there's hard counts, soft counts, deceptive. You're going on first sound, first grunt, whatever it is. The good thing is he knows this. I mean, the verbiage is important. And when things are going awry, he knows he needs to remain calm and neutral so his cadence sounds right so his team can understand it. And he knows he needs to make these mistakes.
I didn't come in necessarily with expectation to seem like a 13-year vet. I came in to work my tail off, show the guys that I'm here. I'm working my tail off. I'm progressing, and trying not to make the same mistake again. That's the biggest thing. Day in and day out, I was trying not to make the same mistake over and over and learn from them. And so, I think that's been my biggest, thing for me and also understand that I'm leading an organization and a team. So, just having that mindset and being in that mind state, and just trying to find my flow.
Find my flow. Wow. We're going to make t-shirt out of that?
Is he the WB Club?
Yeah. Find my flow. See, he could be a WB Club member. Find my bear claw. Robbie, come on. Bear claw.
Smoke weed every day.
I don't. You know what? Speaking of bear claw, the scorer's baking artiste, Julie Swyka. I cannot believe she has not prepared a bear claw, maybe orange and blue. I don't know how she's going to do it, but I need her to make that and to prepare it and to send a picture. And that would be a Saturday Suckage presentation.
Well, I have some kind of inside sourcing. This isn't confirmed, but I think the bear claw is going to be an item at Soldier Field this year in terms of concession stands.
This isn't confirmed, but you just went on the airwaves of 50,000 watts covering all of the United States and 38 provinces of Canada.
Well, I know the person who made the campfire milkshake for the White Sox is now with the Bears, so he's spearheading this.
Bear claw.
Exactly.
Well, maybe the baking artiste from the score, Julie Swyka, can get there first.
Exactly.
Make the bear claw. So Williams thinks he's made progress in this, and that's terrific. Well, I want him to think that. We don't know. We see stuttered random videos, right? DJ Moore over the middle. Romo Dunze in the corner. Like, that's all great. Tremaine Edwards interception. Okay, that happened. Stuff happens, but we don't have the context. The cut we played of him, working his tail off, showing he's progressing, the context is he's speaking to his team there, even though he's using the media and speaking to fans and saying what he's saying. The coaches know, the players know, the locker room knows. Is he making progress? Is he practicing? Is he trying? Is he that guy? Do we rally around that guy? The part about the anticipatory throws, the part about that's not a play. That's something that the one thing that every rookie comes into the NFL and has no clue about. Is the speed of the game, the speed of the practices. Everything is faster. It's where we came in on this. Do everything fast, Caleb. Make your mistakes fast, fix them fast, learn them fast. Rookies come into the league. You're a cornerback, you're going to get windburn. You're a quarterback, that window's closed. You have no idea what an open window looks like in the NFL because it's closed to start with from where you last played. The anticipatory throws are what made Justin Fields a lousy quarterback. It's what makes a lot of guys lousy quarterbacks. You cannot wait till a guy's open. In the NFL, if a guy actually comes open, he's going to be covered up by the time you decide to release the ball. Anticipating the move. I mean, that's knowing your receivers. That's knowing how they're going to, which read they're going to make on a two-way go, whatever they're going to do. But the anticipatory throws are one of the biggest things. Here's the other thing that needs to happen fast. And Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron better figure out how to have it. You better have that defense bearing down on your quarterback, your number one pick, your ball security nightmare. He fumbled. The interceptions are like, it's going to happen. That's a, you know, it's a shortstop making 30 errors in baseball. But like Justin Fields, Caleb Williams had trouble holding onto the ball. Ball security was an issue. And again, everything happens faster in the NFL. Let him get used to faster hands, faster swiping of balls at balls, the way the pocket can collapse. Teach him that. It will be an issue. Make all those mistakes. Make it in training camp. Make it in the joint practices. Make it in the exhibition games. Just don't do it against Tennessee going forward. So that's it. Bears better listen to me because it's a good thing I'm so smart.
I think they should too.
I'm going to take a break. When I come back, we will talk more Bears football with Mark Potash of the Sun-Times. He wrote about how none of this really matters. And I think this, I just told you why part of it matters. Talk to Mark about that and other things that are going on with your favorite football team, Bear Claw. Do we get it? Do we get, Robbie, do we get to sample any of this?
I think we should. I think that should be a wake and bake special.
I would think you're going to get the munchies after it. If the, do the Bears, can Caleb come out with his own line, right? He can come out with his own line of like Kush, his own cultivar.
Caleb's Kush, yeah.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Why don't we, I feel like we're saying all these things, very profitable things to the people right now. We should have put a trademark on this.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Julie just texted me. She just made an official prototype. Julie, it needs to be orange and blue and navy blue, but I like that. We'll try it. She made a bear claw. She put white icing on it. We'll get to that. Maybe that's the road bear claw. We don't have the
whole road jersey bear claw.
Bear claw. Oh, love you, Julie. Love you, everybody else. All you fellow Suckageers. This is Saturday Suckage. Suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Bears. We just don't know.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The Bears indeed, and it's Saturday Suckage. Talking Bears here on The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Going to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Welcoming back to the show, the man who just said it's the Bears, and he has said that in so many iterations when we have discussed everything on here. So we're just going to keep doing that with Mark Potash of the Sun Times. It's the Bears, and it could go any which way. And you had written something similar to that this week about what's happening this week doesn't matter, but it sort of does matter because it's the Bears and their quarterback incubator. Do you have any updated thoughts? Share with the class what you wrote and what prompted that and where we might, what milestone, touchstone, what are you looking for next, Mark?
Well, Steve, let me clarify. I'm not saying what happened this week doesn't matter. I'm just saying you can't make any definitive judgments about Caleb Williams based on what we saw in a an OTA or a mini camp where the offense is already in a very rudimentary stage, you know, where they're just trying to get things straight. So yeah, it's just way too early, and we really don't know. And of course, I think my response is just is what I wrote is basically a response is just all the attention that this gets, the magnification of everything that happens when it really to me it distorts things in my opinion. And so we're out there, and you're going to write about Caleb Williams. I was assigned that to do that, to write that. That's why I wrote what I did. Otherwise, I would have just ignored it, frankly. And that's where we are. So it's until the regular season opener, the way training camp is, and the way the preseason is. Now we won't know very much at all about this, about Caleb Williams, until we see the offense, until we see. You know, the supporting cast that he has around him, which is much better than his two predecessors have had. So that's where we are. I just make the point that it's not that this doesn't matter. Obviously, it does matter, but it's just not defining. That's my point.
Mark Potash is my guest. We're talking Bears football here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I'm lobbying for Caleb Williams to make every mistake he can. I think one of the things that happens with rookies, and I don't know what they've said in this sort of air football, fake football, whatever it is. The one thing they can't imagine is the speed of the game, the speed of the NFL level. And maybe it'll be faster in practice, in training camp when they have their practices. They don't let him play football enough. That's a whole other issue I will run by you. But the speed of the game includes making your mistakes quick, recovering quick, learning from them quick. So in what you've seen from whatever kind of football we can call this, which isn't really football, how has that struck some of the rookies you've watched when they've faced the NFL speed, whatever speed the veterans are going?
Well, it's the key to the whole thing, really, especially for a guy as talented as Caleb Williams, because, his everything he does is going to be based on or predicated on his ability to learn, and that's one of the factors that makes him, I think people think, make him a better quarterback than Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky, is that he learns well, and with the resources, the skill he has, he can correct mistakes more quickly. But like you say, we won't really know that until those mistakes are made, and then we'll see. But at least he shows an ability. One of the positive things about him is that he seems to learn well, and he seems to be a guy who gets it. And but again, we'll never know. You know, it's like this is the honeymoon phase. You know, everything about him is great. Let's wait. I want to see him after a loss. I want to see him after a bad performance that counts, and then we'll really know more about him. So it all depends on that. But to your point, it's all about how quickly he learns. And right now, the indications are is that he is a quick learner. And also remember, everything comes back to another thing, is that he is a much better supporting cast. So it's a lot easier to correct mistakes when you're throwing them to DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and maybe even Rome Odunze. So that is a factor as well, is that he has a little bit wider window, I think, for correction, because he'll have more skill to be that he's working with.
Maybe it's just a recency bias or a scar recently that never healed. Justin Fields' inability to make anticipatory throws. And are we at the point where you can have some idea of where Caleb Williams is in that? Because in the speed of the game and the windows that are open for quarterbacks are so different than they are in college once he gets to the NFL level. So have you noticed, having some kind of simpatico with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Romo Odunze and being able to make pretty passes, pretty completions in different parts on different parts of the field. The idea that you throw them before they're actually open, Justin Fields couldn't pull that trigger and didn't feel comfortable doing it. Any indications on where Caleb Williams is in that for the short time he's been here?
Well, Steve, we've seen those throws already. We've seen the throws that get you excited about that. But you know something? I can't say it's all that much different from what we've seen from other quarterbacks because those throws are easier to make when there's no pass rush like in 7-on-7 or even not much of a pass rush in team. It's just so. I will say yes, we have seen that, but that could also be a false positive. Until we see it again, and I hate to repeat myself, but until we see it in a game situation, we won't know. But I will say this: we see overall, just in general, my observation. Just as I said, Justin Fields is a different animal from Mitch Trubisky, which he was, just not different enough. Caleb Williams shows a lot more instinct for the position, which is what you're talking about when you talk about anticipatory throws, you know, reading a defense, working a defense, you know, using your eyes to manage a defense. He shows much more of an instinct for the position of quarterback instead of just being able to physically play it, which Justin Fields could do, that would portend, I think, to being good at that part of the game and being that step above. So that is a good indicator. But again, you know, we've got to see it in a game situation to really know for sure.
I think that the Players Association, the collective bargaining agreement that limits the amount of football that football players can play, hurts him in this case because the offensive line, you'd want to talk about making mistakes and fixing and quickly and making them better, make mistakes quick, fix them quick, get on with the next play quick. The offensive line is hurt most, I think, by the way they've cut back on the number of practices, and that in turn is going to hurt this quarterback. I can connect those dots. I don't know how it helps Caleb Williams or what he does. What's his workaround for something like that?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, it is, but teams also don't want to have that much physical activity when they don't have to have it anyway these days. So the team might also be limiting itself. The Bears might, or any team would, just the way the game is going. So I'm not sure how much of a factor that is. Again, you know, these guys are almost conditioned now to be ready when the lights are on in week one. And that's when you find out everything. And again, it goes back to like how quickly he learns and how quickly he adjusts and how quickly the Bears adjust. But you're absolutely right. I mean, they have to have everything going full speed to really know to allow this kid to develop. And this really doesn't the situation that he's in now really doesn't allow him to do it. But everybody's in that same boat. So, if C.J. Stroud can do it, this guy can do it. Let's put it that way. So that's always my base because I feel like that's a real good comp. I think it's one of the best comps ever for hopeful Bear fans looking at that instead of saying, you know, if Tom Brady can do it or if Joe Montana can do it, then Rex Grossman can, because those are always bad comps. This is a much better one.
Yes, Mark Potash, my guest, is the king of comps, and he just gave you the comp. And that's a legitimate one, and as you said earlier, that Caleb Williams is walking into a better situation than C.J. Stroud did. I don't know if you'd ever heard of any receiver C.J. Stroud had when he started the season. They became better known because of C.J. Stroud afterwards, and things happened with Caleb Williams. You know, Keenan Allen and D.J. Moore and one not talked about is Cole Kmet, top 10 tight end. He's somebody who can be a quarterback's best friend. He can be there to do a lot of different things. And I know it's too early, but Shane Waldron's reputation is such that he's got a lot of use for tight ends. And where does this go? How will we see this in training camp the next time we see this team?
Well, Steve, I think you hit the nail on the head with Cole Kmet when you mentioned Shane Waldron. Cole Kmet's success is really tied into what Shane Waldron can do with this, because, you know, like I always say, the sign of a good offense is a wide open tight end, and that's when you can create so much conflict of assignment in a defense. The tight end is the guy you least is the last guy you look for, because he's the guy most likely to be either a blocker or a receiver on any play, even more so than a running back. So that's the guy you always lose, and so whenever you see that wide open tight end, that's usually the sign that you have a well run, well constructed offense, and that's all going to be on Shane Waldron, who I think has the most pressure of anybody on him. Even with as ballyhooed of a quarterback as Caleb Williams is, I think this is mostly on Shane Waldron to make it all work, because he doesn't have the luxury of we're in the first year of this offense type of thing, or, you know, we're just starting, or they've pretty much got to hit the ground running. This team is set up to win, and a lot of it's going to be on the offense. So, going back to Kmet, he is set up like you said, you know, top. He's paid like a top 10 tight end. I think he at least performed to that level, if not more, in a not great offense last year. He will certainly be a huge factor, and it all goes on the design of the offense. He is the guy who maybe can benefit most from all these other weapons that they have, because, you know, he's at a point of his career where, you know, he can take another step.
One of the things with Shane Waldron is that at the Combine, I think it was, Matt Eberflus was talking about his chat with Pete Carroll and how Carroll talked him up and all of this, all the stuff you give, all the good referrals you give to a guy from your staff, and which actually makes you look good. But only months earlier, Pete Carroll essentially called out Shane Waldron, called out his play calling. Made the point of saying, we're not using players to the best of their ability. We're not putting in them in the right positions. And then Seattle's offense seemed to get worse. Didn't score much. They were collecting yards as if Justin Fields and Luke Getsy were teaming up together. I don't know how much of that carried over for you, but Shane Waldron has that in his recent past, and I'm not sure what's here that changes that possibility, which is a scary thing if you're a Bears fan, of not using talent to the best of their ability.
Well, you know, see, it's always hard to draw those conclusions based on what somebody does in a certain dynamic, because things change. You know, look at all those great offensive guys who were with the Washington Redskins at the time, I guess, and now they're with the Rams and the 49ers and the Texans and everybody doing great. I mean, it's so hard to tell. All I know, I really don't know that much about Shane Waldron, except that he's been approved by, like you said, all sorts of successful coaches, I guess, you know, Bill Belichick and Sean McVay and Pete Carroll, and people have vouched for him and he's been good enough for them. I certainly think he's good enough for the Bears, but again, the dynamic has to be right. I mean, everything has to be. The thing about that is, normally with the Bears, this would be the guy who does not become the best version of himself. This is where you become the lesser version of yourself. many offensive coordinators who have been very successful other places, not as successful with the Bears because of several reasons. This roster is set up for him to be the best version of himself. And so even though we don't know, and just because he was good in one place doesn't mean he'd be good in another, by the same token, just because he wasn't as successful with the last Seattle team, it doesn't mean he won't be here either. So you can only go by, you know, to me, you know, who hired him, or what people think about him. And he comes approved by some pretty good people, so you have to think if he has the right pieces, he can make the most out of them. But as we know in Chicago, you know, if it can go wrong, it will. So it's still a tall order, even for a guy like Shane Waldron.
Yeah, this is the Bears. That's your slogan, Mark.
Yes.
This is the Bears.
Yes. That's scarred. It. I think you used the word scarred.
Scarred, yeah.
That's the evidence of that, yeah.
Mark, I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking part of Saturday to talk with me.
Sure thing, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show.
Mark Potash of the Sun-Times talking Bears football. We got some more Bears football. Got some more stuff. Update on a Bears future Hall of Famer. Matt Eberflus, you don't want to be in the same conversation as Tim Beckman, but here you are. And Torrey Taylor, I got an idea for him and throwing out a first pitch at Wrigley. Sort of a first pitch. So I'll bring that all to you before we get to the top of the hour when we do talk Cubs with Andy Martinez of Marquee. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The haunting, alluring Stevie Nicks. I could do FM. I could do my FM voice.
What would be the station?
No, we're 670 The Score. We're AM radio. We are the big blowtorch AM radio, Saturday mornings 11 to 2. Welcome and welcome back. So last night, I had seen this on my Twitterer. Chris Bowden of Channel 9 just got word from Steve McMichael's spokeswoman, Betsy Shepard, that doctors and the family have ruled out traveling to Canton this summer for his Hall of Fame induction due to the complications of ALS, and the Hall of Fame is planning an in-home presentation. Mongo has been visited by a lot of... Dan Pompey wrote a nice story about all the teammates and people coming to visit Mongo, and just if you saw this guy, he was the last bear. When you think of the, I remember writing that column. I was at the Sun-Times and I wrote it. It was in Platteville. He's the last bear, and he was the last bear standing. The guy who represented what they were. The in his world, he and Hampton referred to themselves as cavemen, same as they referred to their coach Ditka. And there's a lot of truth in that. And to see a guy who could be so animated, even when he wasn't lipsticking up Mark Giangreco or getting thrown out of baseball games by Angel Hernandez, or boy, he left, huh? Angel Hernandez, I'm leaving baseball and quickly because I suck. Anyways, Mongo will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame will find a way to do an in-home presentation. Good for everybody. The current Bears, coached by interim coach Matt Eberflus, finished their mandatory minicamp. And the question always is asked, what message did you send them, send those young men out into the world with? And this was Matt Eberflus's message.
And I always tell the guys, you know, in the word win, I stands for individual responsibility. So this is that time of year.
So it's worn or weren't. I weren't paying attention. W-I-N. What does the W stand for? Do we know?
No one asked. Grody, we checked him with Grody. Grody did not ask what the W or the N was, which I thought was bad reporting.
And the I is individual responsibility. When? Worn. Worn. See, what happens is this is the guy who came in with the HITS principle. And once you roll out the acronyms, you've reduced yourself to a high school coach. You're Friday Night Lights. That's what you are. So the interim coach for the Bears came in with the HITS principle. Now he's got WIN, but it's really WERN. And we don't know what the W and the N stands for. And you, what you do is you've entered the Tim Beckman zone.
We are joined in studio by Illinois football coach Tim Beckman. What is an Illini fan? What is it fair to expect, short-term, long-term?
Our motto's win, and that is whatever is necessary today. And we're taking one day at a time to get ourselves better.
How have you been received with the coaches? Wouldn't
that be wint? Yeah. Win. W-I-N.
But the today
whatever
makes it
is
wint.
Necessary.
How have you been received by these coaches in Illinois?
It was the Boers and Bernstein show, legendary Tim Beckman with Wint, which became a meme. It's
our motto's
Twitter.
Win, and Wint. That is whatever is necessary today.
That's Wint. Just like Win is Wern in Matt Eberflus's world. You know what? We have somewhere we have Oski, where he does the Oski thing. We have a 217 texter Robbie who says the W stands for wake and bake. There you go. Wake and bake, individual responsibility now.
Smoke weed every day.
Wern. 847 texter, the W and N stand for wake and nap. It's from Beef Rockmore. Could be. Anyways, the whole Oski Wawa thing that Tim Beckman. When you're in a conversation with Tim Beckman's name, Matt Eberflus, you need to extricate yourself. But I will say this for Eberflus, the new look, Matt Eberflus, he got the memo. He got the memo that since 1985, the only titles won in Chicago were by coaches and managers with facial hair. Ditka and the mustache, the much the much mimic mustache. But it's Ditka, Phil Jackson, Ozzie, Joel Quenneville. There's a Hall of Fame mustache there, brush stash. And Joe Madden. Joe Madden heard about this. Wait, they all need facial hair, so Joe Madden was growing facial hair. And Matt Eberflus got them, you know, maybe that's his version, his way of trying not to remain interim manager. But when you start doing WERN and you start doing acronyms, you don't even have the right number of words and letters, you don't explain it well. I don't think there's enough facial hair that's going to save you. Yeah, you need to WERN on that, Matt. So that the Bears drafted the bionic leg of Torrey Taylor at Iowa, right? And we saw there was video. I didn't have the right perspective. Whatever video I got came across my feeds. It didn't. Okay, ball was high and it was long. And there was better. The reporting of it was, okay, drop this inside the 20, inside the 10, coffin corner. Guy caught it at the 1. And yeah, okay, that's what we want to do. And Taylor had said that in the pre-draft process, he had met with Richard Hightower, the Bears special teams coach, did it at the combine. And Hightower told him he believes that Torrey Taylor's game, leg, ability mirrors Mitch Wishnowsky, whom Hightower coached in San Francisco with the 49ers. The San Francisco Giants play in a city where, you know, the 49ers play in a city. 49ers are in Santa Clara, but the Giants play, and that's the whole Bay Area is what they consider. They'll draw from that. So the unusual is the usual there. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you saw the video. It's classic. They always throw out the ceremonial first pitch. They do these at all these games, right? Cubs do it, Sox do it, all that kind of stuff. The Giants had the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers punter, Mitch Wishnowsky, throw out, I guess, a punter's version of the first pitch. He walked over to the right field fence. He had a football in his hands, and he punted the ball over the walkway into McCovey Cove. I think Cubs should ask Torrey Taylor to do that. Something like that. Going to throw out the first pitch or throw out the punter's version of the first pitch. Let him walk out to center field and kick it over the Wrigley scoreboard right down Kenmore Avenue. Or maybe in left field, walk to near the fence and see if he can kick it onto the rooftop. Any of the rooftops. Doesn't have to be just the one the Ricketts own. There's rooftops out there. And maybe he gets in the way and he hits the Coke sign and it looks like the end of the natural. But Torrey Taylor, let's take that leg out to Wrigley Field. Going over the Wrigley Field scoreboard, the iconic scoreboard in the center field, that would be classic. If he could punt the ball over the scoreboard into the intersection onto Kenmore. That would be great. Either way, I think it would be great entertainment, right? And I think it would show the Cubs players that it is possible to make a ball leave the stadium. Maybe it would show Jed Hoyer it is possible that players could make a ball leave the playing field. Cubs need help doing that. We will talk about that next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The haunting, alluring Stevie Nicks. I could do FM. I could. My FM voice.
What would be the station?
No, we're 670 The Score. We're AM radio. We are the big blowtorch AM radio, Saturday mornings 11 to 2. Welcome and welcome back. So last night, I had seen this on my Twitterer. Chris Bowden of Channel 9 just got word from Steve McMichael's spokeswoman, Betsy Shepard, that doctors and the family have ruled out traveling to Canton this summer for his Hall of Fame induction due to the complications of ALS, and the Hall of Fame is planning an in-home presentation. Mongo has been visited by a lot of... Dan Pompey wrote a nice story about all the... teammates and people coming to visit Mongo, and just if you saw this guy, he was the last bear. When you think of the, I remember writing that column. I was at the Sun-Times and I wrote it. It was in Platteville. He's the last bear, and he was the last bear standing. The guy who represented what they were. The in his world, he and Hampton referred to themselves as cavemen, same as they referred to their coach Ditka. And there's a lot of truth in that. And to see a guy who could be so animated, even when he wasn't lipsticking up Mark Giangreco or getting thrown out of baseball games by Angel Hernandez, or boy, he left, huh? Angel Hernandez, I'm leaving baseball and quickly because I suck. Anyways, Mongo will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame will find a way to do an in-home presentation. Good for everybody. The current Bears, coached by interim coach Matt Eberflus, finished their mandatory mini camp. And the question always is asked, what message did you send them, send those young men out into the world with? And this was Matt Eberflus's message.
And I always tell the guys, you know, in the word win, I stands for individual responsibility. So this is that time of year.
So it's weren't or weren't. I weren't paying attention. W-I-N. What does the W stand for? Do we know?
No one asked. Grody, we checked with Grody. Grody did not ask what the W or the N was, which I thought was bad reporting.
And the I is individual responsibility. When? Weren't. Weren't. See, what happens is this is the guy who came in with the HITS principle. And once you roll out the acronyms, you've reduced yourself to a high school coach. You're Friday Night Lights. That's what you are. So the interim coach for the Bears came in with the HITS principle. Now he's got WIN, but it's really WERN. And we don't know what the W and the N stands for. And you, what you do is you've entered the Tim Beckman zone.
We are joined in studio by Illinois football coach Tim Beckman. What is an Illini fan? What is it fair to expect, short-term, long-term?
Our motto's win, and that is whatever is necessary today, and we're taking one day at a time to get ourselves better.
How have you been received with the coaches?
Yeah.
Win. W-I-N. But the today whatever makes it is win. Necessary.
How have you been received by these coaches in Illinois?
It was the Boers and Bernstein show. Legendary Tim Beckman with Wint, which became a meme. It's our
motto's
Twitter.
Win, and Wint. That is whatever is necessary today.
That's Wint. Just like Win is Wern in Matt Eberflus's world. You know what? We have somewhere we have Oski, where he does the Oski thing. We have a 217 texter, Robbie, who says the W stands for wake and bake. There you go. Wake and bake, individual responsibility now.
Smoke weed every day.
Wern. 847 texter, the W and N stand for wake and nap. It's from Beef Rockmore. Could be. Anyways, the whole Oski Wawa thing that Tim Beckman. When you're in a conversation with Tim Beckman's name, Matt Eberflus, you need to extricate yourself. But I will say this for Eberflus, the new look, Matt Eberflus, he got the memo. He got the memo that since 1985, the only titles won in Chicago were by coaches and managers with facial hair. Ditka and the mustache, the much mimic mustache. But it's Ditka, Phil Jackson, Ozzie, Joel Quenneville. That's a Hall of Fame mustache there, brushstache. And Joe Madden. Joe Madden heard about this. Wait, they all need facial hair, so Joe Madden was growing facial hair. And Matt Eberflus got them, you know, maybe that's his version, his way of trying not to remain interim manager. But when you start doing Wern and you start doing acronyms, you don't even have the right number of words and letters. You don't explain it well. I don't think there's enough facial hair that's going to save you. Yeah, you need to Wern on that, Matt. So that the Bears drafted the bionic leg of Torrey Taylor at Iowa, right? And we saw there was video. I didn't have the right perspective. Whatever video I got came across my feeds. It didn't. Okay, it was ball was high, and it was long, and there was better. The reporting of it was, okay, drop this inside the 20, inside the 10, coffin corner. Guy caught it at the 1, and yeah, okay, that's what we want to do. And Taylor had said that in the pre-draft process, he had met with Richard Hightower, the Bears special teams coach, did it at the combine. And Hightower told him he believes that Torrey Taylor's game, leg, ability mirrors Mitch Wishnowsky, whom Hightower coached in San Francisco with the 49ers. The San Francisco Giants play in a city where, you know, the 49ers play in a city. 49ers are in Santa Clara, but the Giants play, and that's the whole Bay Area is what they consider. They'll draw from that. So the unusual is the usual there. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you saw the video. It's classic. They always throw out the ceremonial first pitch. They do these at all these games, right? Cubs do it, Sox do it, all that kind of stuff. The Giants had the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers punter, Mitch Wishnowsky, throw out, I guess, a punter's version of the first pitch. He walked over to the right field fence. He had a football in his hands, and he punted the ball over the walkway into McCovey Cove. I think Cubs should ask Torrey Taylor to do that. Something like that. Going to throw out the first pitch or throw out the punter's version of the first pitch. Let him walk out to center field and kick it over the Wrigley scoreboard right down Kenmore Avenue. Or maybe in left field, walk to near the fence and see if he can kick it onto the rooftop. Any of the rooftops. Doesn't have to be just the one the Ricketts own. there's rooftops out there. And maybe he gets away and he hits the Coke sign and it looks like the end of the natural. But Torrey Taylor, let's take that leg out to Wrigley Field. Going over the Wrigley Field scoreboard, the iconic scoreboard in the center field, that would be classic. If he could hit, if he could kick, punt the ball over the scoreboard into the intersection onto Kenmore, that would be great. Either way, I think it would be great entertainment, right? And I think it would show the Cubs players that it is possible to make a ball leave the stadium. Maybe it would show Jed Hoyer it is possible that players could make a ball leave the playing field. Cubs need help doing that. We will talk about that next on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.